This is the April 6th meeting of the Pacifica National Board, a continuation of the meeting last March 26th. I'll ask our recording secretary, Richard Ezell, to take the roll, please.
I can do that. It's Richard. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we did.
Hey, Alberto.
Hey, Richard.
Okay, I was in another world. Sorry, folks. I sound worse than I look, or I look worse than I smell, or something like that. Shiram Agamir.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg. Tracy Rosenberg.
She's going to be late.
Andrea Turner. Thank you.
Present.
Hey, Andrea.
Hey.
Joe Gonzalez. Joe? Sean O'Brien?
Present.
Leslie Radford? Leslie? Summer Reese?
Present.
Rico Ross? Rico? Bill Crozier?
I'm here.
Alberto Lorero?
Present.
George Ryder?
Here.
Richard Giselle? Here. Mia Bediaco?
Present.
Kathy Davis? Kathy? Jennifer Jaeger?
Here.
Alex Steinberg?
Present.
Alonzo Brown?
Here.
Campbell Johnson?
Present.
Kimberly Orndorff?
Present.
Marcel Reed? Marcel? Jim Bennett?
Present.
Present.
Was that Marcel? Okay.
Present, yes.
Thank you. Afia Wangaza? Afia? Mr. Chair, you have a quorum. And I have a cold.
Thank you, Richard. I have sent out the executive session agenda. It will be immediately following this open meeting, which will end at 10:40 Eastern Time. The agenda for the open meeting was sent out on April 5th at 11:18 p.m., and the first items on the agenda are reports from the executive director and the chief financial officer. Since sending it out, I've spoken with Arlene, and she needs more time than I've allotted, so I'm going to allot 20 minutes to her report and 10 minutes to the CFO's report. Arlene?
I'm here.
Are you there? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the first thing that I wanted to bring to everyone's attention is, I think, some very good news. Some of you may be aware that WPFW has a grant from UCLA as part of the Instant Recess Program as developed by Dr. Antoinette Yancey, and this is dealing with childhood obesity. This program is being launched in conjunction with Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign aimed at ending childhood obesity. And on May 3rd, the launch will be, and it's being called the National Physical Activity Plan. Grigsby was telling me that, you know, many of you may be aware that in places like Japan and Korea, they literally send exercise plans out over the radio and people will stop whatever they're doing. They might be in the grocery store or wherever and do a set of exercises before they resume their normal activities, and this is a little bit of what this is about. It's to help combat childhood obesity. The program launch on May 3rd is going to be really kind of staged, a press conference and a few other official ceremonies, so probably not something to broadcast live, but we were hoping to turn it into something that would also help promote Pacifica WPFW is one of the media sponsors on the project, as well as one of the grant recipients on the Instant Recess project, which is being launched at the same time. And so we're hoping to put together some programming that every station could draw from and broadcast if they would like, or encourage each station to broadcast something on May 3rd as part of this program. I think it's a pretty exciting way to do one of the things that we've been talking about, which is through stellar programming to help increase awareness of Pacifica and increase our audience share, our market share. So I'd like to see everyone go back to their stations and start talking about this. And as I get a little more word from Dr. Yancey, I'll put out some information on what individual stations can do, and we'll be talking about it as a Pacifica campaign. The second item I wanted to address was the recall election. I've engaged Michael Sanchez, who was the local election supervisor in Los Angeles, to run that, and he's getting started at this point. So that should be happening. He's going to have a timetable back to me within the next couple of days. He had to check into a couple of things to see how long they're going to take, and we'll get that moving. In terms of the election in general, we've advertised at a number of free sites and on all of the Pacifica websites for a national election supervisor. We've only gotten two resumes in so far. I'm going to take a good look at them and see if it looks like they're really competent, and if so, I'll interview two and hope that maybe I've got a candidate there. If not, I'll have to advertise further. But also, I'm taking a look at the costs from our last election and see if there are places that we can work to bring those costs down or to control them in some way. So I'm already beginning to work looking forward to this year's election. In terms of general management search, we have at this point about 100 resumes in, and the latest batch will be going out to the local search committees on Thursday. The advertisement ran in the Los Angeles Times on Sunday and will be running again this next Sunday. We have advertisements in all of the free publications that were listed. We also have the Los Angeles Times, the Progressive, and Current that are running it both on websites. All of them involve both websites and print advertisements. The other thing that I'm spending a great deal of time on right now that the audit is finished, I've got a little more access to figures, and we will hopefully by the middle of next week have completed budgets and figures for the first 6 months of the year, including the budget, the audited figures from 2009 and the closed books through March, so that we'll be able to look at those and really get a good understanding of where we are. And we'll have a complete report on that. Laverne will be bringing that to the meeting in Los Angeles. But in the meantime, I've already gotten the figures for the first 5 months for KPFA. Actually, just got those final figures today. And we're looking at those. We're going to have to take some drastic action with their budget. Their income is down almost $354,000 from last year, while the expenses were only down about $43,000. Their deficit at this point in the year is $171,000 more than it was at this point last year. But their winter drive was later, and so we really need the March figures to be completely realistic in looking at these, and we hope to have them by Friday. They will be having a special one-day drive on April 15th to help cover the shortfall from their winter drive. And we are analyzing staff positions and all the other expenses to see where we can best make cuts. We'll actually be going through this exercise to some degree for the entire foundation, but since other stations had already made a lot of cuts, hopefully we're going to find that most of them are in better shape than that, but we know we've got a couple of other trouble areas too. And the last issue that I wanted to mention was just that I'm hoping that in Los Angeles we can find some time to talk about the LSBs, to really do a little brainstorming on what is their purpose and function. I'd like to say that Marcel Reed told me about what they've been doing in Washington, and that's been, I think, a kind of a creative solution to try to help tone down some things and bring a little more understanding to the total Pacifica picture at the LSB level, and that is that they formed a committee of their four national board members, and they're delivering a report each month to the LSB so that they're a little more informed about what the network means, what's happening at the network level, and hopefully that'll make for a better exchange between the LSB and the PNB. Those are the issues, actually, that I wanted to cover. I will be happy to take any questions, and I'd particularly like to take any questions about the National Physical Activity Plan that I mentioned. I'd also like to thank both Marcel and Grigsby for their, and I should say, Joni Eisenberg, also at the station, for making me completely aware of this and for helping to set up the involvement and get us moving on that.
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
I want to just interrupt here for 1 second. We didn't appoint a timer.
I was thinking about that. I've been keeping time on this myself. We've got 10 more minutes on this.
I'm happy to do it for you if you need, sir.
I appreciate it if you would.
Okay, no problem. 10 minutes left?
10 minutes left.
George?
Yes, who's
Campbell.
That?
Campbell. Campbell, back.
Yeah, anybody else?
Yeah.
Summer.
Howard?
Summer?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Marcel.
Marcel.
Okay, I heard Marcel.
Okay, I'll say no, I'm sorry.
Jim.
Okay. Jim, how? Say that last person, say it again.
Andrea,
okay. And Alex?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Sharam.
Sharam.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Campbell.
Okay, first thing I wanted to mention is thank you very much, Arlene, and I want to mention that in terms of this instant recess, the primary applause or attaboy should go to Joni Eisenberg, who championed this from the very beginning and followed through to make sure that it would happen. I mean, it would not have happened without her. So this is something I think that's critically important for us to recognize, and I think that it would be worthwhile for her to get explicit recognition in writing in regard to that, because this is a big fish. We're talking about some serious money that WPFW through Joni Eisenberg has been able to acquire, and I want to mention in this regard, because Arlene, you were kind of saying, "Gee, didn't know how this we could engage the station." One thing I think that would be ideal would be to involve the Cook Elementary School, which is just a block and a half from WPFW, and it's a brand new school. It's newly renovated school, and I think that they've got a very positive multicultural student body there and faculty, and I think that it would be an ideal thing to embrace the school in some activity associated with it, and to the extent that WPFW can facilitate this, I'm sure that it would be not a difficult thing to do, and I'd be willing to participate in helping to collaborate with the school on that.
Well, let me just real quickly say, Campbell, that any of those local initiatives are going to basically come through Joni. And what I was talking about was engaging the other stations in the network so that we make this a network and an affiliate-wide effort I've already got a commitment from WMF in Tampa. It's going to cover it on their women's show on Saturday before and maybe on Monday. I'm hoping that we can get a lot of stations to give coverage to this, and that part of what we cover will be things that are lined up by Joni.
Okay, terrific, terrific. I want to mention also you had made reference to a recall election in Los Angeles. And
no,
we've
the recall election is in Berkeley.
Oh, in Berkeley. Okay. Is this an election of delegates that's is
no,
this in relation to that at all?
It's the one. It's the Brian Edwards T-shirt on the LSB that was passed by the PNB. I believe it's a January meeting.
Oh, okay, okay. I recall now. Let's see. The next point I wanted to address is in regard to the GM search. You mentioned that you had an ad in the LA Times. I'm wondering, you know, one of the papers of record for the East Coast certainly is the Washington Post. And I was wondering if that had been, if an ad had been placed in the Post.
It was considered, but the pricing was such that the Washington Post and the New York Times were both really out of our budget. And so if we don't have adequate numbers to choose from, and we've got quite a few from all over the country, including the East Coast, quite a few that are interested in individual stations and others that are interested in two, three, or four stations. So it looks like we're getting a good pool of applicants.
Well, I just think that a lot of folks on the East Coast would not be inclined to look for the L.A. Times as a place to, you know, look for a position. And I think that there's a lot of talent on the East Coast that could be overlooked by missing both the Post and the New York Times. So those, you know, I would urge you to perhaps reconsider those in regard to it.
Campbell, we have seven people on the list in about 3 more minutes.
That was the end of my comments and questions.
Summer.
Hi, yes. I'm glad to hear that we're finally doing some advertising and getting some results. I'll go into this further on the confidential phone call because I still don't feel like we're getting any communication whatsoever at the KPFK GM search committee and any of the support that we need and any of the explanations as to where the advertising has gone and why each station has a budget for advertising, including WPFW. I recall the New York Times was on the list of potentialities. Anyway, so I'll go into this further in executive session, but I feel these are they're still issues, and I'm glad to hear it's something's finally happening, but I would like to go into this further when we can talk more freely. Thank you.
Okay, Marcel.
Thank you, George. First of all, I'd like to thank Arlene for taking a look at Instant Recess. When I spoke to her about it, originally it was in January, about Joni being the primary person responsible for this. But I think it would be an excellent opportunity for Pacifica to put itself out with an initiative that can be embraced by everyone in the country. It would be a way for us to feel more like a network and less like separate entities that all just come together on occasion. And at this press conference, I think it would be very good if we had Arlene there. That way we would have Pacifica right out in front with this. And I know that there are news outlets in this town that would just do anything to be listed with this initiative by Michelle Obama. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Jim.
Yes, in the interest of time, perhaps LaVarne can address this in her CFO report, but I wanted to first of all congratulate Free Speech Radio News on their 10th anniversary, and then also ask if we can find out an update on our financial support of FSRN currently, and maybe LaVarne can answer that, and we can move on.
Okay. Andrea.
Yes. Arlene, could you give me the timeline for the recall? And I have a second question after you give me that for Berkeley.
It'll be a few days before we have that totally established. We're in the process of putting it together. I'll be glad to send it to you as soon as we have it established.
Okay, thank you. The other question is for the GM hires that you're going to be doing. Are you also looking for Berkeley as well?
Yes.
Because this is the, okay, I thought it was just L.A.
That's one of the reasons we knew that Berkeley was going to be in the group, so we delayed the timing so that we could include all four stations.
Oh, okay, I didn't get that from your report. Okay.
I don't think I said it, but
no,
that is
no,
the case.
No. Okay, good. The last thing is about the budget for KPFA. Could you repeat how much we are down? You said 354,000.
Yes, I can. Just
okay,
let me grab it.
You.
The income is down about $354,000 from last year at this time. But as I say, the drive was a little bit later, so I don't feel that it's really fair to make a total comparison until we get March figures in, which will be Friday.
Okay. Thank you.
Alex?
Yes. First, I want to congratulate everyone at WPFW for this wonderful initiative. And in the spirit of successful initiatives, I'd like to offer a very quick and I hope non-controversial motion. April 24th, as some of you know, is Mumia Abu-Jamal's birthday. And I would like to see a motion that the Pacifica National Board recommends that all our stations do a special on Mumia Abu-Jamal on April 24th on his birthday.
Is there any objection to having that motion on the agenda? Okay, hearing none. What I'd like to do is to give Sharm's the last person on the stack, is to give him a chance to comment, and then we'll, or because we're going to run out of time on this.
Yeah, we got 3 seconds, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
I'll be very brief, like, actually.
Yeah,
Arlene
so
has
much.
Just one last question, real quick.
Sure. Can I go ahead?
Yes, go ahead, Sharon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Arlene, for your report. I guess we're going to talk about FSRN later on, but I just have another question. Is there any reason we are not advertising for these GM positions on our airwaves? I mean, I've never heard it actually being done at KPFA, but is there a reason for that? I mean, it would kind of be a reasonable approach unless there is a counter argument that I haven't heard of.
I would say there's no good reason, and I would actually be glad to put something together and send it out to the stations, and they can modify or use it as they see fit. I think that's a good idea.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. So we're actually out of time for this session. We had a motion just before we ran out of time. Does anyone want to move to extend time for about 5 minutes to consider this motion?
So moved.
Yes.
Sample.
Okay. Is there any objection to extending time? Okay. Hearing none then, Alex, did you want to say more about the motion itself?
Yes. Well, as most of you know, Mumia Abu-Jamal has been in a prison for 29 years, I believe, almost all that time on death row. This is clearly a case of someone being framed up and persecuted for their political beliefs. And it's a case that has drawn international attention. And it would be incumbent on us as fighters for justice and to take a stand on this case at this crucial time when there are forces in the state apparatus that are still pushing for its execution. And it would also be good for Pacifica. I think it would be in line with many other initiatives that we should take to expand our audience and to become more well-known in the communities.
Do you have the specific text for a motion?
The Pacifica National Board recommends that the tri stations comprising the Pacifica network broadcast Amumia Mujamal special on April 24th, his birthday. I don't think we want to make it a directive because I don't know what the logistical problems would be at the various stations, but some of them certainly could do something with this. And we do have some people, for instance, Noel Hanrahan at KPFA, who has done a lot of work with Mumia Bujamal, so we have resources we can work with to get some material.
Okay. This is Richard. Could you type that?
Could you type that up and send it to me yourself? What was the question? Arlene?
What? Oh, my question was, Marcel brought up about the fact that she'd like to see me attend the press conference, and I just wanted some feedback as to whether that's something that's desired or not.
Oh, from the board.
Right.
Does anyone see any good reason why that shouldn't be done? Does anyone want to speak to that?
Yes, Andrea.
Yes.
Because she would have the voice of Pacifica. How else is it going to be exhibited for the conference?
I hear that. I don't hear any objection to that, Arlene. It sounds like it's a good idea.
Okay, let's go to that, and I'll plan to tie it in with something else on the East Coast so that I'm covering a couple of things at once.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate your concern with the economy.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah?
This is Richard. Alex, could you type that and send it to me? Thank you.
I can't do it, but Alex was going to do that, I assume. I have it as the PMB recommends that all stations broadcast a show on April 24th, which is Mumia's birthday, about Mumia. Is that the sense of it, Alex?
I think I don't think we just want to say about Mumia. Highlighting the case of Mumia Bujamal.
Okay, highlighting the case of Mumia Bujamal. Okay, fine. Is there any objection to that? Okay. Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously, and we will forward that to the management of the stations for their consideration, and we'll see what we can make out of that. Okay. We're out of time on Arlene's report and the extension. LaVarne? You have 10 minutes for your report.
I'm here. Oh, this should be brief. As Arlene said, we're closing the books for the month of March, which will give us the first 6 months of the year, and we would like to have that in Fev numbers by the beginning of next week, and for analysis, and certainly we'll have them for the PNB meeting on the weekend of the 22nd and 23rd in Los Angeles. So today, just want to go over again so everyone will know what our results were for the first 5 months of the year. I'll just repeat those that we have reported in the prior meeting. And that the revenue for February year-to-date was $6.2 million. Compared to prior year, that was $300,000, almost $350,000 worse than the prior year. It was actually $1 million worse than the budget. And the reason for some of the variance to budget was primarily due to the timing of the fund drives. For example, KPFK's drive was budgeted January. So results for the month of March, and we will see at that time how the revenue has compared to budget here we are. And for the total net income or loss for February year to date, we're currently at a loss of approximately $100,000, and that's about $100,000 per prior year, and as shown, it's been a total of $1 million, or $1.1 million worse than budget in terms of the net loss. So as Arlene said, we have a lot of work to do, particularly with KPFA. The other thing that I want to say is I want to thank all of the and the finance staff throughout the stations, and also the database managers and development managers who really put in a lot of time and effort and helped to conclude the audit. So I believe we've sent out the final audit. I believe we've distributed that. If not, we'll send it out again. And showing the 2009, and we can discuss that in detail at the PNB meeting, where I can use that as a time for explaining profit and loss, explaining the financials of a not-for-profit organization, and specifically for the foundation. And as we were saying, as we went through this audit, we had an exercise at the end in terms of trying to determine what the revenue really should be, and looking at we have deferred revenue based on installment plans.
I'm sorry, I'm getting too garbled.
Yeah, it's a lot of breakup.
This is breaking up. I can't begin to understand the last few minutes.
Could everyone put the phone on mute?
Sounds like somebody's outside.
I think that would help a lot.
That's definitely much quieter.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you for interrupting Campbell so that we can make sure that everyone could hear. Because, you know, sometimes we fail to do that. So thank you. So again,
I just muted, so I couldn't say you're welcome.
Okay.
Well, we
I'm
think you're
mute
not.
Again.
So you can stay unmuted. Okay. Or unmuted or whatever. But what we'll do is that looking at, as Arlene said, there are a number of serious opportunities with KPFA. And when we went through this whole process, like I said, which determined what the deferred revenue was, went through a lot of exercises working with the data managers, looking at the MIMS database. And for example, with KPFA, just pulling the information off of some of the information that we had to input for the audit and input for CPP, like for example with KPFA, the total number of contributors from 2009 to 2008 actually decreased almost 10,000. So what I have done is I have started pulling together a preview or in terms of a package for the PNB meeting to look at, you know, where we really are for foundation. Okay. So, and where we really need
to... Somebody just came on, needs to mute. Okay. There's a grinding sound there.
As we talked about in the planning
process,
the issue that we really need to tackle is the fulfillment. And again, as we went through all of the analysis for the audit and looking at deferred revenue, we looked at the fulfillment rates on lump sum contributions, on installments, on credit cards. And with credit cards, in terms of the fulfillment on that, you know, we have really high rates on fulfillment for credit cards. And WPFW really has the highest rate on credit card fulfillment. And for example, the May or the September drive 2009, they had like a 98% fulfillment. So I think that what we have discovered when we have meetings, because we would have daily meetings with, again, business managers and database and development directors, is that we're able to share the various processes that we use and where we're successful in that information with the other stations. And where we have a serious challenge with fulfillment is at WBAI. And what I've done is I've kind of listed some of the basic things that the stations do to be successful and fulfilling the fund drive. You make these when you make your goal, but unless it's fulfilled, it just doesn't work. And you know, basically, some of the things is that, which everyone knows, you should should always ask for credit card pledges, because if you're getting 98% fulfillment like at PFW, you definitely need to do that. And again, where we have the lowest rate is at BAI. And in fact, at BAI for the January drive, we really, on the lump sum, we have less than 20% fulfillment. Whereas with like with the other stations, we are, like for the September drive, we are in the upper 80s for fulfillment. And February, since it just ended, those numbers are still preliminary. So again, you know, some of the basic things is like to ask for credit card pledges. Your Pride Day pledge card should be input into Memphis by 9 a.m. The Global Payment Solutions Authorized.net sweep should be done by 9:15 a.m., including installments. You know, FT should set up your lapsed members. Those renewals come out every month. The report should be produced to Memphis. The credit card list, you should call those by 9 p.m. every day. You should mail out your invoices by the third day with return envelope always, and an option to use your GRE or business supply envelope. Your second and third invoices should be mailed on a scheduled timeline. The premiums should be mailed by preferably by assembly line and preferably with volunteers on a scheduled timeline. So I think that that's where we really can attack and really improve our return on our pledges. And again, as we went through this process with the audit is really a good thing because it allows you to see where you're successful and also where you can improve. So that's kind of basically where we are. And the closed session just can report also, which I intended to do the last time, was on the our contribution to the San Francisco Foundation. And Jim had asked about, in terms of where we are with our payables and with FSRN, I can talk in detail and send you the report that I do in the closed session. But we're behind on FSRN, and we are in constant communication with FSRN. In fact, we're going to have a meeting with them so that we can really kind of talk about what we can do to make so it's not such a challenge each month. But the other very, very important part of this, and where I talked about fulfillment, is that the way the plan, the budget operates, is that each station has to contribute to what we call essential services, which is the cost of Democracy Now!, the satellite, the Clear Channel, and all of those costs that are common for the stations. And unless those contributions are made, and we cannot make these payments on time, because you know I do not produce or print money. I'd love to, but I don't. And so that's why we're behind. We're not getting the central services. And I have another chart that shows that too. I can show that.
Sean, how are we doing on time?
We have 1 second.
Okay, well that's basically it. Just appeal to everyone to understand.
Is there any objection to extending for 5 minutes for questions? Okay, hearing
no.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, this is Tracy. I'd just like to get on the staff for a question or comment.
Campbell.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay, so I heard Tracy. I have
Campbell.
A question myself. Campbell. Anyone else?
Summer.
Okay. LaVarne, that list of things that can be done to improve the response from the fulfillment rate for the pledge drives, is that being sent out to the stations as directives?
We have our meeting. We're going to reschedule them for this week to talk with the business managers, and we can very well do that. And working with Arlene to send out as directives, we have our senior staff meetings on Thursday, so we can in terms of Arlene can go over that with to share, you know, the direct, like you said, the directive has to be done.
Okay, thank you.
We will get that in the written. Yes,
good, thank you. There's a chewing sound on it. Someone needs to mute.
I don't know what that is, what they're actually eating, or there's something that actually sounds more like the phone. So if you please try to mute, and when the sound goes away, we'll know who it was. You'll know who it was.
Okay, we need you to do it now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You did it. Thank you.
It's still there.
Okay, it's still there. It's like a radio in the background.
I know that NCAA women's game is on, but let's use that.
Stanford is winning 20-12 at the half.
Okay, that seemed to do it. Tracy.
Yeah, hi everyone. Just joined the call. I have a question regarding a question or comment regarding the fulfillment rates at BAI. I think I heard LaVarne say something like 20%, which seems, to my understanding, to be kind of absurdly low. So I have a question about whether it might not be a valid investment to rent one or two what they call VeriSign instant credit card terminals. I think they cost about $19 a month, and put through some of those credit cards in real time from the pledge room, which gives you the opportunity to either keep people on hold while you pump their credit card number through at that particular moment, or call them back rapidly to try to ascertain what the problem is. I suspect the problem is people just aren't copying down numbers correctly in the pledge room, but it seems to me if you were to recapture $100 a month more in pledges, which I think obviously you would do if you raised it from 20% to even 35%, you'd get that money back, and potentially quite a bit more. So I just wanted to put that out as a possibility of addressing what seems to be a kind of strangely low fulfillment rate, unless you have an armada of people calling you with fake credit card numbers, which seems unlikely.
Well, this is due to the non-credit card pledges that is about at 20%. And there were some issues with that. There were issues with the, in terms of sending out the invoices. The initial invoices went out without a return invoice. And then the third set have gone out with an envelope. So that will go back. But, you know, it's interesting. Just quickly, you had made the point about false pledge as well. You know, actually back in the fall, someone made a pledge in my name. They made a pledge to Armand DeMille, who does counseling. Hey, someone called up and actually made this pledge in my name, and it was $125. And, you know, it's kind of funny, but it wastes his time, and it's not really funny. And
So 80% of the pledges, of the check pledges, are not coming back?
As of this week, it has not come back. But what happened is that there was a new set of invoices that were sent out because I received my invoice. So I'm expecting in terms of for BAI to start getting in the lockbox lots of paid pledges this week and next week. So it's just a matter of time, and that's why I noted here again that your invoices have to be mailed on a timeline, and it has to be mailed it has to be received when you think people get paid, which is like the 15th and the end of the month. So they have to have that invoice there waiting for them when they get paid on the 15th or at the end of the month. So that's
okay. One follow-up comment.
Tracy, we're running out of time. We've got two more people
all right,
on the staff.
All right.
Campbell?
Yes. Am I on?
You are.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I was muted. I was just wondering if LaVarne, you could provide that report in writing.
Yeah, I have it right here. I'll send it. It's part of my package that I was pulling together for the meeting, but I'll send out this page here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Oh, you're quite welcome.
We are in time.
We have one more person on the stack. Is there any objection to giving Summer a minute and a half, 2 minutes to make her comment?
Without objection.
Hearing none, Summer, go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, just, I guess, very quickly, because of the FSRN payments being in arrears, and we don't have to get into extended conversation, but is the implementation of the financial accountability policy, is that in process at this time still?
Yeah, we're working on that, and we're working on it at the stations. But we have it at BAI. We have Lynn has done the financial close for the last 3 months. So we are working on that, and also with KPFA, where there are the most opportunity in terms of making that happen and being a positive for the foundation.
But we'll have a timetable on that plan and on implementation at the April meeting in Los Angeles.
Okay, you'll go over that at the Los Angeles meeting. Okay, thank you. That's all.
Okay. We're going to move on to committees and working group reports and motions. The coordinating committee is first. Tracy, you are either the chair or the chair pro tem. Would you make that report?
Yes, with a slight disclaimer that I'm sitting at the airport right now and I don't have a computer in front of me, so I may need you to supplement. The coordinating committee met on March 7th, and we'll meet again on April 7th. We don't have any motions to bring to the body. We had several discussions about the agenda for the open meeting, which included a couple of committee of the whole sessions that we wanted to schedule. One would focus on outreach to new audiences, and another would focus on finances. We also set dates for the next three in-person meetings. I'm going to recite those dates from memory. George, if you could just double-check that I'm reciting the dates correctly, because they're not in front of me. The motion is for the next three in-person, well, the next four in-person PNB meetings to be April 23-25 to Los Angeles, which we've already agreed, July 14 through 16.
Nope, 16 through 18.
This is why you're checking me, in Berkeley, October 1-3 in New York, right. And I believe January 24 to 27?
21 to 23.
Well, this is why, okay. So January 21 to 23 in Houston, and that would be in 2011. So to restate, it's for the next four PNB in-person meetings, April 23-25, Los Angeles, July 16-18, Berkeley, October 1 through 3, New York, and January 21-23-2011 in Houston. So I'm putting that forward as a motion from the coordinating committee.
Good. Thank you. Is there any objection to that motion? Okay. Hearing none, those will be the dates for the next four meetings. Let me just add that the April meeting, it's time to book your flights, either yourself or through Becky Leung. Also, I would like to know, and please just send me an email tonight, whether or not you'll be there Friday morning, so we'll know what kinds of things we can schedule on Friday morning. So if you don't know yet, send it to me as soon as you can. I'd like to have it before tomorrow's meeting, but
George,
coordinating committee. Yes.
Yeah. Could someone also disclose the location of the meeting? I received an email that a location had been set, but not what the location was.
LaVon, I think you know what it is. You're asking for the name of the hotel, right?
Right.
Sportsman
Lodge.
Okay.
Los Angeles. And we have had meetings there before, and so we have it set up. The cost, I probably shouldn't say on the live call, but I think we have it's a rate that we've never enjoyed before, so that's very good. And we are again asking everyone to be as frugal as possible, and that is that if you could share a room with one of your fellow very, very friendly board members, that would be great.
And we do have we have one main meeting room, and then we've engaged the suite for closed meetings.
Great. Thank you.
George?
Yes, who's that?
Campbell? Yes. I was wondering what time you were looking at Friday morning to...
Well, we usually begin at 9 o'clock
when
we do begin, and we have been beginning on Friday mornings. And what schedule then depends to some extent on how much of a full committee we're likely to have.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Any other questions about the arrangements for the next meeting? Okay. Let's move on to the Elections Committee report and motions. Bill, you're the chair of that, aren't you?
Sorry, I'm just unmuting myself. You ready for the report?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there are the. Let me just give you a little quick summary, and then we can see the emotions that were on the agenda. The Elections Committee has had several work group meetings dealing with whether it be feasible to contract out certain functions, and also and how that might save money, as well as relieving the workload some on the NES and the LESs during some of their peak times. And so we haven't quite finished that, but I don't know, maybe I should just go on to those the motions that we have. And we also helped prepare a job description for the NES that Arlene talked about earlier that's been posted. And we look forward to working with the NES to help see what we can do to help, you know, save money and take care of some of the ongoing problems that we've had, such as tracking replacement ballot requests. Another thing that we think will help, we hope will help, is the staff registry software that I believe Otis put together. And we will need cooperation, I guess, from all the stations in trying to encourage the staff members to use that so that we can get correct names and addresses and all the information that we need for sending out staff ballots. And then again, the ongoing biggest problem, I guess, is ensuring that the member database problems are straightened out at each station. And it should be a real high priority, I think, not just for elections, but so that we can efficiently contact members and send them fund their premiums, as well as any other fundraising mailings and that sort of thing. There's a lot of turnover. People change email addresses, postal addresses, phone numbers regularly, and we have problems, of course, with incorrect information being written down or typed incorrectly into MEMSIS. And we've encouraged several times that all the stations take steps, the membership departments take steps to, before the elections, on an ongoing basis, to maintain their database, check to get change of address information from the post office regularly for any mail.
Bill, let me interrupt you for a moment.
Yes.
That noise is again in the background. Would whoever is responsible for that please mute themselves?
Yeah, I hear it too.
Go ahead, Bill.
And I guess we'll probably need to talk with Arlene about that too. I'm not sure what the status is, but that was that will save more work than anything else for the NES and the LES is if the membership database problem should be taken care of. It shouldn't be their responsibility to have to do that. And then secondarily, the staff database lists. So that's kind of a quick summary. If anybody else on the election committee wants to add anything, that would be fine. And I guess I'll go on to the vote.
Bill, the first one seems to be moot in that given the report that Arlene just gave, she's in the process of picking a national election supervisor. Could we just go on to the second one?
Okay. I think it's fine with me. That was the number one was in lieu of contracting it out, as was considered last year. Number two, let me go ahead and read that.
Yep.
A little bit long. The PNB directs the executive director to hire a national election supervisor as an independent contractor for the 2010 Pacifica LSB elections. The ED is encouraged to interview any candidates with previous LES experience with the foundation election process. For the 2010 election, the NES is strongly encouraged to explore using the station website for the display of candidate information and to print and mail full packages with the booklet instead of just ballots with return envelopes to only those voters who request them. The ED is further instructed to work collaboratively with the election committee to develop an RFP for a vendor contract that would be in effect for the 2012-2013 elections and would include research on online voting options for the foundation and or other measures to reduce costs by at least 25%.
Is there a reason why the speaker has an echo?
Are
you on a speaker? Bill?
Someone needs to
no.
mute. This has happened before. It's not, I don't think it's an echo. I think it's just a secondary noise source.
It also happens when people...
It is an echo, and I think everybody needs to mute.
muting and also talking on speakerphones gives that quality too.
Right. Well, I'm not on a speakerphone either, but anyway. And then the last part of it, and or other measures to reduce costs by at least 25% while maintaining a transparent and secure process. The 2010 Elections Committee is charged with developing the RFP for proposals to a completed state so that in 2011, a thorough multi-bid competitive process can be engaged in and a contractor in place by no later than 12/2011 for the ensuing two-year election cycle. Determination needs to be made, one, how to differentiate persons receiving full packages versus those with ballots and return envelopes, and two, extreme care needs to be used in determining how online voting options can be done in a fair and secure way. And then this was passed by the Elections Committee without objection, and it's in your on your agenda if you just follow all that.
Okay. Athea, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm fine with it, except for the it has the opt-in option, which is the only those voters who request them. We have such a difficult time now getting the 10%. So I would like to amend that to say it's only those voters who have not opted out. Because for Sprady, if we have the opt-in, we won't get the 10%. And we don't want to have to do another mailer and incur more costs to the foundation. That's my amendment to say those who have not opted out.
Point of order?
Yes.
Am I understanding correctly that the original motion is to not send candidate statements but only ballots? I'm misunderstanding the crux of the matter.
Well, Bill, would you explain that, please?
Well, the motion, now this has been a little bit superseded by some discussions with no further motions, though. But the motion, the way it is to, reduce costs by sending people who ask for the whole packet. But after we passed this was two or three meetings back, we had some other discussions, and we want to talk with the NES and most likely have an opt-out process, like Athea was suggesting. So
and is that for both the ballot? Is that for everything, an opt-out from voting? Is that what you're talking about,
The details we need to work out with the NES, but we wanted to send the ballot to everybody, a paper ballot to everybody, all members. And then the question was whether the candidate pamphlet, which has cost more to print and mail, would it have to go to everybody? And the motion does say basically opt out, but after some discussions, I think we kind of agreed with what Athea was suggesting, her amendment, to make it an
amendment.
Excuse me, I said it backwards.
It's not Athea, it's Nia.
Oh, Nia, I'm sorry. Hard to hear.
Okay. And Nia, you are suggesting that it be an opt out. Everyone gets it unless they opt out. Is that correct?
Right. Because okay. We have a hard time now getting the 10%. But I mean, I'm glad to hear that the committee decided. I didn't hear Bill say that initially, unless I missed it. So that was my amendment. But I would like to make it an official amendment, though.
Is there a second for that amendment?
This is not an emotion.
Second.